Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. And once again, our focus is on the Florida case, or cases, surrounding Hayley Cummings and the various families involved. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
From Gainesville, Florida, we have the director of news and programming for WSKY 97.3, TJ Hart. TJ, it's always great to talk to you.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Have you actually managed to get any sleep?
10 minutes overnight and 10 minutes this afternoon.
Yeah.
Sounds like me now.
Right.
I woke up Jan trying to call you.
No, I was awake already. Just barely.
Yeah, I was up and at it at 4 a.m. this morning, and I can honestly say that I achieved very little. But such is life. We also have with us investigative journalist Levi Page. Levi, how are you today?
I'm excellent. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Oh, doing just great. And from Las Vegas, Nevada, we have the crime doctor, Denny Griffin.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi, Denny.
Denny, how did the big mob show go at the Stratosphere?
I got to tell you, organized crime has a niche, and it's a go-getter.
It's a go-getter. It was a sellout event, I hope.
Close.
Close. Right. Splendid. We also have with us today author, and I think we can definitely call him assistant to WSKY 97.3 and Blogger News, Armando Aldazabal. Armando, great that you could join us today.
My pleasure.
As always, our phone lines are open, and we welcome your questions and comments. The number to call is area code 646-378-1120. Or you're welcome to ask your questions in our chat room. Okay, so it has been another very busy week. TJ, do you want to give us the thumbnail sketch of what went on?
Well, one day in particular was quite busy. I don't know if anybody caught this on bloggernews.net or sky973.com or even on the issues with Jane Velez Mitchell, but it was arraignment day, and it should have been any other normal arraignment hearing in this very unusual case involving the principal players at this point regarding the Hayley Cummings disappearance of over a year ago and those who were busted in the Putnam County drug sting back in late January. Ron Cummings has his attorney enter a plea of not guilty. That's not surprising. Hope Cummings enters a plea of not guilty, while Misty and her lawyer are entering her plea of not guilty, although she's been caught on tape, and we'll get to that later, for drug trafficking. Her father is in another courtroom in the very same courthouse attending to a court motion procedural hearing regarding his alleged doctor shopping charges. And while that's going on, actually just shortly before Misty was arraigned, Lisa Crosland, Hank's wife and Misty Crosland's mother, was arrested by the Palatka Police Department on charges of grand theft, or larceny over $300 and under $5,000, an incident that allegedly took place, according to her husband Hank, in December, right around Christmas time, at the Walmart there in Palatka. Now, she sits in the Putnam County Jail for a little bit, but not too long. She's been there before. She kind of knows the routine. But lo and behold, a very big man with a very big hat, from California, and a very big wallet. One bounty hunter, Leonard Padilla, enters the scene once again after purchasing cars, after purchasing cell phones, and getting them rent and some food money for the Croslin family. He bails out Lisa Croslin, and she was bailed out at about 12:20 the same day. Now, that is just absolutely crazy. Now, to make matters even more interesting, we get released pretty much on that same day some video of Misty wanting to get Leonard Padilla to get her out of jail, but only on the condition that he can't revoke her bond. She's telling him what to do with his generosity. Meanwhile, her attorney, Mr. Field, writes a cease and desist letter marked 2-17-10, telling Padilla, thank you very much, but no thank you, get lost, leave us alone, bye, get gone, get out of here, vamoose. And that's about where it stands, and that pretty much was all in the span of one day. We'll get into the videos a little bit later because they're in Technicolor. We're talking about busts going down in Technicolor. And I'll leave that to you guys because you've been handling the video aspect of this for the most part. And anyway, that's the setup. And I guess we can discuss from there for at this point.
Okay. I want to quickly go around the table just to get everyone's first impressions. Armando, I know that you watched the February 19th DVD release today. What did you make of it?
Well, I think it was outstanding. First of all, I want to say that what a difference actually between Tommy Croslin and Misty. I mean, on one hand, you have Tommy Croslin totally being humble, almost accepting his fate, just, you know, sending his sister love and all that. And on the other hand, you have Misty pretty much saying, I don't care about him. I don't care about anybody else. Get me out and get me out tonight. Get me out right now. Get me out tomorrow. I don't care. Put everybody on the back burner. I'm the one who needs to be out. And I don't know. I'm just at a loss for words, kind of.
Levi, I'm not sure that you've had an opportunity to look at these tapes, but I'm sure you've heard bits and pieces. What's your take on this week's adventures?
Well, I think that it is absolutely ridiculous when you look at the tapes where they busted Ronald and Misty in the undercover sting operation. And in it, what was interesting to me, we have Ronald Cummings dealing drugs. Everybody in this case is dead, like Haley was dead from the very beginning. We have Ronald Cummings taking Misty to the fair, to the racetracks, out to eat, collecting donations, misusing those donations, allegedly. I mean, look at other families of missing people. Look at Drew Kessie, his daughter Jennifer Kessie. He's in front of the media all the time, every week, asking the public for information. He's working with police. He helps other missing families. That's not what Ronald's doing. He's dealing drugs. So I think that to see these opposite behaviors, two ends of the spectrum, is very interesting when you look at him. And the only time behind bars when we see Ronald show any emotion over Haley was when he allegedly, you know, had to read this script about trying to get information out of the Misty when the police fed him this script. That's the only time he shows any sympathy. And look at Misty. She's selfish. She's conniving. She's self-centered. I mean, we're seeing a different side of her when you see her on all of these interviews that she's done on the morning shows. She's quiet. She's has a mouse voice to her. She tries to play the little dumb, naive little teenager who doesn't know anything about this case. But we see her behind bars. She's self-centered. She cares about her food. She wants some sweets. The food's not good enough for her. She goes on profanity-laced tirades. And this is the woman who Ronald left in the care of his children. And look at what she said. Didn't she say on some of these undercover sting operations, didn't she say that Haley ruined her 17th birthday? Because she had to spend it with Haley. I mean, that's absolutely a despicable thing to say. This child's dead, and she's talking like that about her, not dead, but missing. We don't know if she's dead yet. But that's the way she's talking about her. I mean, that's the woman that left in the care of his kids, and she's an absolutely despicable person. and so is Ronald.
Well, Levi, I want to say that, there have not been any good players in this. You must also remember that there were some incidences on the other side of the family, too, where, you know, some concerts had taken place, some publicity things have taken place. And nobody really knew what the heck happened there. I'm not going to cast stones at them because I've not seen the books, but they just didn't appear to be, you know, either well-planned or and very much not well-received, and you don't know what the heck the money's going for or going toward, if any money at all was ever raised in those things. But the thing is, I don't see anybody on any side of any the three or four families that are here out there beating the bushes down trying to find a child. I'm not finding very many good actors in this whole scenario.
Okay, Jen, you and I watched the... watched one of the videos about an hour ago, and it concerned Leonard Padilla putting $100 on Misty's account.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you'd think would make Misty happy. But no, Misty went on to say, well, wasn't Timmy going to give me $100
yeah,
as well?
Yeah, she wanted that and from her daddy.
Yeah, and weren't you going to give me $100?
Yeah. And then was talking about how when she gets out, she can take the money with her.
Unfortunately, Hank did break the bad news to her that it was all the same $100.
Well, this is a girl who can't quite add, so I don't think she ever would have known.
Well, if you notice, too, on the videos, every time they start talking about somebody else, she hurries up and goes back to her getting out. You know,
yeah.
I want to get out of here. Chelsea cut her hair. Lisa would tell us something like, Chelsea cut her hair. Oh, yeah, well, I want to get out of here. Or either that or she started talking about her hair, how long her hair is. And it was always switched back to her, always, if you ever know, you listen to them.
Okay, Denny, we haven't heard a word from you.
Yes, I pretty much ditto what Levi had to say. And I believe it was last week we talked about the various appearances these players have had, both on the various TV shows, national TV and so forth, and then also in the undercover type of situations. And we speculated that it was almost like they were playing to a script. What was the real story? Who was the real person? When were we seeing legitimate emotion versus a staged, something staged for a TV camera or a microphone? And I agree that that's what these, you see entirely different people and personalities when you hear or see some of these undercover things versus what you see on Good Morning America or some of the other shows. And I think TJ just said there haven't really been a whole lot of good players in this thing, and I certainly echo that.
Actually, if you can name one good player, that would probably be a start.
You got me there, Simon. I'm stuck.
Okay, let's go to some of this video. The undercover narc video was released. Apparently, the lawyers for both Misty and the rest of them were just speechless. That's the whole case right there. Well, what did they think we were going to do? Like, you know, not play them?
Well, I got to tell you, when you have, and by the way, good catch, Levi and Denny, too, for noticing the change in personality of Misty. I've seen those changes in personality, and it's like the drop of a hat. She can turn it on, she can turn it off, and she can be three different people in 5 minutes. And that's something I witnessed, live and in person with her and in my talking with her. But boy, it really came out big on this video. Baby, hey baby, referring to Ron,
right,
while she's in the undercover cop car. Meet us at Centers. Meet us at Centers. And then they're discussing where they're going to go to make the drug transaction. And then you see her in jail, and it's, oh, I me my, oh, I me my, oh, I me my. And then, like Levi says, you put her on the Today Show, and she looks, you know, vacant. There's nothing in there. There's nothing between those ears, and there's nothing behind those eyes. And how manipulative this person can be. This is the reason why the cops have had a devil of a time trying to get a straight story out of this girl. They can't. She can't produce one. And look at the tools that she's applying. I don't know the proper term or the scientific term, but a regular chameleon.
They say if you lie so much, eventually you begin to believe your own lies, and she's mastered that.
So, a quick question to you, Armando. You were one of the first people to see these things in full Technicolor. The bust itself, wasn't it that, I mean, it just came out of nowhere. You're about 6 minutes into the video, and you're about lulled half to sleep, and it's not until Ron opens a car door, and you hear the word MF a few times. Then you realize what's going on.
I don't think Armando has that particular tape.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't. But I mean, just it, but I like Danny said. I echo what Levi said, man. I mean, there's no. I mean, he's out there selling drugs while his daughter's smoking. That's despicable, you know.
It is.
But I do know Jan watched the watched the bust.
Yes, I did.
She was giggling. I think that would be the best way to.
Yeah, well, it kind of took them by surprise, that's for sure. All you heard was, get out, hit the ground, hit the ground. So, yeah. I'm sure they weren't expecting anything like that.
Well, what about the lawyers, you know, being grumpy that the tapes have been released? I mean, where's the sense in that? And more importantly, how can they possibly fight the case? Danny.
Well, yeah, now.
Uh-oh. TJ.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I was kind of hoping we'd hear from Denny on that one, but it seems to me that's an open and shut case, unless you got a jury who feels that they were entrapped, and then that might be the only way the lawyers can ever play this is claim entrapment, and it's pretty airtight. Somebody's going to go to jail for a long time. It looks like all five of them are going to go for some time.
It would be amazing to me if they beat this, and I think TJ hit it on the head. I would have to think that entrapment might be the only possible defense here, and I don't really see that being successful. Entrapment is, to some degree, is like the insanity defense. It's tried on occasion, but it's kind of a tough nut for the defense to prove, and I don't see that happening here. I think, like TJ said, there's all five are looking at some major time here.
Oh, yeah. Levi, do you have any thoughts on entrapment?
Yeah, I don't think an entrapment defense would work. It rarely does. I think I think all of them are probably going to go to jail for a long time. They're going to be found guilty if they don't plead guilty or take a deal. But I think what is interesting is I think the only chance, the only person that has the slightest chance of getting off on this is Ronald, because I think that some people might feel sympathy for him that he has a missing child and the missing child is yet to be found, so they might feel sympathy for him. But me, I don't. I mean, look at what he did from the very beginning. He got a tattoo. He got married. He was moving on with his life. That's the same thing that Casey Anthony did. She got a tattoo, Bella Vita, The Good Life. They were acting like this child was dead from the very beginning of this case.
Wow. You know, an investigator very close to this case, one of the main investigators told me off the record that these two cases here in Florida are a lot closer than anyone imagines, and the investigator would not elaborate would only say, that's about all I got to say about that. Put a little tug on the bill of his hat, wave bye-bye, and haven't seen him for, I don't know, probably 5 months. But it was 5 months ago when he said that. So it's the way you pointed that out, there are a great deal of similarities.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I think the only defense that they can put up in this drug case is insanity.
Yeah.
It didn't look like they were insane to me on that video.
Well, no. It also bothered me that here we have Misty and Ronald. They were lovers, then they were man and wife, then they got divorced, and yet Misty is calling Ronald baby.
I can't imagine calling my ex-husband Ray a baby.
Did you spot that one, TJ?
Oh, yes. That was... I looked at that and my chin dropped. It really
mine did too. I was like, "What?"
I tried to understand the dynamic of the Crosland family. And I'm not a professional. I'm not a psychologist, psychiatrist.
Good luck.
Good luck. Thank you. But I'm always trying to figure out, different ways and how this family has stayed together and what it is that keeps them together. I really haven't figured it out much other than
tax refund checks.
They really seem to be comfortable with themselves as a unit. But I hear a lot of love you, Pop, love you, Mom, I shouldn't have done this, a lot of regret, and then 10 seconds later, with the exception of Tommy, he doesn't invoke the name of the Lord too much, but Misty sure does. And she'll say, God will help us. God will show us a sign. And when I get out of here, and after God lets me out of here, I'm going to find somebody and I'm going to kick their effing rear end. And it's like, wow. Wow. But it seems that there's a lot of denial that takes place in the families. It seems like they're very willing to forgive everybody for their foibles and their flaws. And they're willing to be there and say they love each other despite everybody's, troubles. And I guess that does make family in some odd, strange way. It may seem to be dysfunctional to many of us, but the fact that they're together as a unit through thick and thin says something, but I'm not sure what it says. But it says
something. They're ridiculous from the very... if you watch these videos, they blame the state of Florida, as if Florida caused all of their problems.
Move down here. It's in the water.
They blame everyone from themselves. Somebody told me that they were victims of life. They're not victims of life. They chose to do what they do. Nobody made them
do
it. That's a ridiculous excuse. People don't want to take responsibility for their actions. They want to blame doctors for the reason they get addicted to drugs. They want to blame the state of Florida. It's bullcrap. And I think what is interesting about this case is that I don't know if anybody of you watched Geraldo last week, but Jose Baez was giving expert legal commentary, which made me laugh. But he was talking about this case, and he mentioned that Misty did not have a sixth-grade education, that over a sixth-grade education. Where were these parents doing? How do you not let your child go to school at the age of – that's illegal. They should have been in jail. And we had Ronald. Wasn't it reported very early on in this case that Haley had missed tons and tons of days of school? These people are whack jobs.
Well, some of this I can give you a little bit of background on some of this with Misty, and this is our last conversation we had. It was also the last time I ever appeared on Nancy Grace because they have little problems with the truth. Missing in action. The person you're talking about missing in action, Miss Nancy, happened to be sitting about 14 feet away from me right now, and they didn't want to hear about that on the show. But that's another story for another day. But Misty was telling me, she said that all the time that she was with their family, they would move from town to town. This is not an excuse, but she was trying to get me to feel some kind of sympathy for her. But this is her story. This is what she says. take it for what you want, because, again, it's a matter of choices, and it's not a matter of blaming your situation on any other things. She said that she moved from probably seven different schools in 9 years, whether it was Colorado, Michigan, up north, different parts of Florida, Tennessee, wherever that the family moved. She said, my mom and dad they're just a couple of hippies, and, you know, they're addicted to drugs. We've lived out of cars. And she said, hell, I was trying to fit in with the other kids at school, and by the time I figured out, you know, where everything was, it was time to move again. And she got frustrated that she wasn't learning much, but she said she thought it was more important at that time in her life to get along with the other kids than it was to pay attention in school, because she just really wanted to fit in. She said her grandmother helped her out a little bit, and that maybe might have been the only thing that kept her in the arena of academics at all, because what little she does know how to read, her grandmother actually taught her, according to her. I can tell you that she doesn't spell words very well. She's a little bit more than able to write her name. And if she really has a third or fourth grade education, friends and neighbors, I would be astonished. But she does know how to manipulate. She knows how to use whatever assets or talents she has to get you to believe anything she's trying to tell you. She's very streetwise, but she's not very book smart. The other situation with the child, I'm trying to remember here when it was that the doctor's appointments were missed due to the Turner's syndrome, whether that was if she was under the care of Crystal or Ronald at that time. Now, I do know that DCF had come out to check on some accusations that Ron might have been harming the children, and when DCF came out there and did their investigation, they found nothing that would preclude him from remaining as the parent at that stage of the game. Perhaps maybe the lesser of two evils. One only knows. You're talking about young people ill-equipped to have kids, let alone raise them, with their situations in life and maybe their attention spans. But Ronald had stated that he basically had to, it was Geraldo of all people. He said, what we have is a daddy-daughter relationship. And if she gets a spank, she gets a spank on the bottom. But there has to be an understanding of what that was about and what that's related to. But we talk measures out first. And that was about it. But there were some doctor's appointments that were missed. But to be quite honest with you, panel, I don't know if that was when Crystal was caring for the children still, or if Ronald had missed those appointments.
Didn't Crystal only have them on
weekends? Not in the beginning. Oh. Not in the beginning. She had them in the beginning.
That's a good point, TJ.
Yeah, she had them in the beginning. We're talking two young kids who weren't equipped to, and most young kids, let's face it, when your parents at that age, your skills are pretty limited.
Do we have any kind of update on Junior?
He was visiting with Teresa Neves one day this week. I believe there may have been a funeral, and he was allowed to visit with stay with Teresa while that side of the family had gone and attended the funeral. But I do believe he is still in the care of the Sheffield family, the Baker County part of his family. I believe he's still in their custody. He doesn't have much of a place to go, I don't think, at this stage of the game with Dad behind bars.
Levi, do you have an update on Junior at all?
No, I don't. I haven't heard or read anything about any of them. But there's a lot of rumors around the internet regarding custody hearings. And failed drug tests and all that, and people bickering back and forth. The reality is we just don't know what's going on.
Well, actually, we do know about one, because Marie Griffiths responded to an email to me, and I printed that email verbatim. And, and that's where it stands. He's still up there in Baker County, for all anybody knows. But I will tell everybody, the panel and the listeners alike, that DCF does not really have to conform to too many sunshine laws, for the simple fact that in most cases minor children are involved, and those names don't get released. And so they have a special pass where even though the parents may have to you know, be ruled or remanded or results or something like this, or unless they bloody well wish to make them public, they ain't going to be public. You won't find them in any records, and it's really you know, trying to find a needle in a haystack to find any record of any hearing that they do hold unless they wish to make it public.
Denny, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I think about this case quite frequently, and I don't talk about it and think about it. And we were saying about, you know, the parents here, when Misty, what a sixth grade education and so forth. This whole thing is troubling. I mean, it's not only Haley being missing, but it's the whole background of all these people. And I don't know. You get the kids, I mean, I guess I don't want to spend my time questioning the Florida the Family Service people, but God, it just, you know, I think it almost seems like a crime to me, maybe not technically a crime, but disturbing to me that these kids were in this environment. And I don't know, I have issues with the whole thing. In addition to Haley being missing, there's a whole lot of things about this case that I find very upsetting.
I think you're right about that. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is the ultimate dysfunctional family. I was talking to I think it was Armando earlier today, and he remarked, not even Jerry Springer could invent this. Armando, I'll give you an opportunity to defend yourself.
Actually, Jerry Springer, that would be like top guest for him. He couldn't. That's top pedigree for Jerry Springer right there. that's pay-per-view Jerry Springer.
It has to be pay-per-view.
What I want to say, though, real quick on that, you know, that this case is like the perfect example for the saying that God doesn't like ugly. You know, here they are pretty much feeling like they just got away with this child negligence and what happened with, you know, with Haley and everything, and then bam, now they're in jail, about to FaceTime for one thing or the other, whatever. God works mysteriously, and I'm glad they're where they're at.
Yeah.
Yes, I think jail looks good on them.
Her cornrows look jelly. like she belongs there.
Do you think she's going to get some tats while she's in there as well?
I don't know. that would be quite challenging.
Mm. I have a question for Levi, because I believe, Levi, you're pretty close in age to these people. I mean, you're much younger than the rest of the panel. No disrespect to the rest of the panel. Generationally, how does this play for someone who's, you know, your age or younger than us?
Well, you know, I don't deal drugs, and I don't live the kind of lifestyle that these people live, so it's foreign to me. I've never dealt drugs. I actually didn't know what a Roxy was before I started following this case. I had to look that up on the internet. I had and oxycodone and all sorts of other stuff. You know, I'm not familiar with the way these people live their lives.
Well, then no. It's definitely not generational.
No, I think the question that TJ was asking was, you know, based on your age, you know, what do you think of it? Us folks that are in our 50s, that would be me.
Hey man, I'm only 34 now.
Oh, okay. Oh, Armando's a youngster as well.
I think about this case is I think that they're people that have not had good parenting. They have not had any role models. They've had no structure. They've just been able to do whatever they want to do. They've been involved in drugs. They've been involved in parties. Nobody's ever made them face any sort of consequences in their life. You know, I mean, look at these gel tapes. If I would have talked like that, if I would have cussed like that in front of my parents, they would have gotten angry at me. They still would now. And the way she talks to her grandmother, I mean, it's absolutely disrespectful. Misty, the way she does it. And look, she's playing, she's acting on these gel tapes, and she sometimes forgets that she's being recorded because she shows her true colors when she talks about how she's going to go on television and tell everybody to kiss her, you know what.
I got something to say with that. I mean, it's not that I'm trying to disagree with you, but I have my sister's gone. She's no longer with us, but she was definitely on some heavy drugs, and I didn't even know about it when I was around her. It never showed, but she was on a lot of heavy drugs, and she was raised by the same parents that I was raised by. I don't do drugs. I never have and never will, but yet she totally was opposite from me, so you can't really say all the time that it's how they were raised, because she was raised the same way I was. And, I mean, she just chose that kind of life. I think
yeah.
It's a lot to do with who they hang out with, who they...
That's a good point.
Their friends are. I mean, because, like I said, in my case, I've got three brothers and a sister. Well, she's gone, like I said, but she's the only one that really got into heavy with the drugs. And like I said, we were all raised by the same family, the same way, the same rules and everything. Just when she got to a certain age, she was rebellious. She also was taken out of school when she was in the seventh grade because she wouldn't stay. My dad said there was no sense in sending her to school if she wasn't going to stay there. So he kept her home and, you know, took her out and just kept her at home then. But it still didn't work. And they tried. They tried everything they could think of. Even after she was an adult, they tried. So you can't always say that it's, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm not defending the Croslands, but at the same time, I can't say that it's their fault how they raised.
You're right. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. Everybody's raised different.
Exactly.
And everybody's situations are different. But, I mean, look at the Anthony family. It looks to me, I mean, when you're looking at them, it looks to me like the Anthonys let Casey get away with a lot of stuff. She didn't even graduate high school.
They did.
And look at the way she lashed out at them. And I think it's unfortunate. I think everybody's different, though, and it has a lot to do with who they hang out with, who their friends are.
It depends on really how influenced you can be, how easily you can be influenced by others. I mean, like I said, she was very influenced by all the people she hung out with, and I wasn't. I was around. I knew people that hung out and, you know, did drugs, but they couldn't pull me with it because I wasn't interested in it. So it really depends on the individual as to how fast they can be influenced by somebody else's, you know, mistakes or whatever. So I just wanted to point that out.
Okay, I want to bring Armando in. I mean, you know, we're going slightly off topic here, but Armando has two books in print. They're both very drug-centric, cocaine memoirs and What You Are Turning Me Into. Both are well worth reading, by the way. Armando, I know that you yourself are not a drug user. However, you grew up surrounded by drugs. I mean, how difficult is it to avoid drugs in this day and age?
It goes, I mean, kind of like what Jan said, I guess it's on your own mindset. I grew up on and Paramore and Kaylee in Orlando. If anybody knows that, they know that, you know, right next to a crack house, pretty much. And it's everywhere. I mean, pretty much, I think the new drug spots have become schools. I mean, pretty much, a kid really doesn't have to go through all this. All they got to do is go to school and pretty much get whatever they need there, whether it's from someone that's going to school there or just someone who's hanging out around the school. So I think, as far as what Jan was saying, after viewing that video, there was some parts where, like, actually from both parts, Misty and Tommy, when they were speaking how they got to quit doing drugs when they get out, they're never going to touch another drug, they're never going to do nothing again. And it's funny to me how their father was, on both cases, was like, oh, I reckon I need to do the same, you know, so it's an edible.
Tenny, you and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. Actually, it was a program we did, and your friend, one of your ex-mobster friends, made the classic comment that it was better when the mob controlled drugs.
Hey.
Yes, he did make that comment.
What's your thoughts? You know, how do you stop the drug problem?
My associates tell me it was better when the mob controlled a lot of things in addition to the drugs. Well, you know, the distribution, if you will, of drugs by organized crime, you didn't have then so much this doctor shopping and the prescription drug deals. And I don't know if I'm not an expert on it, but I don't know if it were worse off now with the prescription drug things, which I'm not saying organized crime's not involved in. I'm just saying that it wasn't as prevalent, I don't think, at one time. And maybe Armando would like to address that. I don't know. Are we better off? Is it more dangerous, or is it worse with the prescription drug thing and the abuse of prescription drugs and the selling and the doctor shopping and all this stuff? Are we worse off now than we were before, Armando?
To be honest with you, no. I mean, I think what happens is every year or every few years or whatever, it goes to, like, a different trend, basically, you know what I mean? Back then it was ecstasy, then cocaine, then crack, and then, you know, weed was popular for a little bit. Now it's pills again. So, I mean, it's just pretty much, like, just we tend to, like, push the others aside to welcome the new one in. And I keep saying it. I said it from first day. The only way to stop that problem and solution is education.
Okay. It seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong here, but a lot of these prescriptions are not coming so much from private practitioners, but these so-called pain centers.
Oh,
clinics, yeah.
Florida.
Armando, any thoughts?
Pretty much Florida's dispensaries. Same thing is going on in California with marijuana. They're growing the substance as a lower tab in a way, you know what I mean? Some of this marijuana that they grow out there in these dispensaries are, I mean, they're pretty heavy, and basically the same thing here. I mean, you can get a card to purchase marijuana there for having heartburn, you know. Over here, pretty much the same thing, so it's a versus thing, I mean.
We just had a bust in the Ocala area, which is the city just south of Gainesville, right across the Payne's Prairie, which is actually code for a big, fat, juicy, wet swamp full of gators. It's no by no means a prairie. It looks like the Everglades. Anyway, in Ocala recently, five guys had gone down to Tampa to a pain clinic, and they were able, between the five of them, get 1,300 pills for pain, get those scripts taken care of, and they were on their way back to, guess what, sell them, and sell them for a pretty healthy profit and use what they wished for recreation as well. And they went to a pain clinic, and how they got those pills, how they were able to manufacture a want or a need or a situation in order to get them, because they all appeared to be pretty healthy fellas by the looks of their mug shots. It was beyond me. And like you said, it's a dispensary, Armando. It truly is. And I can't wait till the new laws to crack down on this.
I find it disturbing. You know, it takes an act of Congress to get me to visit a doctor. And, you know, I get, you know, 3 months worth of blood pressure pills, and away I go. You know, there's no way someone's going to, or no way I would even attempt to get, you know, hundreds of pain pills.
I can't even get him to take a Tylenol.
baby aspirin, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I do take baby aspirin.
Yeah, but...
Heart prevention, yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the videos that were released. There's lots of lovely material in them. Leonard Padilla seems to have reinserted himself into the case and done it big time. Apparently, he has bought Hank and Lisa 98 or 99 Taurus. He has paid rent. He's bought food. He's put $100 on Misty's commissary account. I mean, what's all this about? Can Padilla actually make a difference? Anyone?
I don't think so, because I think the only way that anybody's going to get any information out of Misty is if we leave her behind bars. And look at all the people who have tried. Ronald tried to do it. The police were feeding him lines. That failed. That's someone that she obviously, as Jan mentioned, she called him baby. And you know, they never really got divorced. I mean, they, on paper they might have, but the only reason Ronald divorced her was because he was tired of going on Nancy Grace and defending her. That's the only reason. And the only way they're going to get any information is they leave her butt right behind bars where she belongs. And let's also look at other people who tried to get information out of her. Donna Brock, how much time did Donna Brock spend with her? Months. She never confessed a single word. I say leave her behind bars. Right where she belongs. She's getting pretty antsy. She's going on these profanity laced tirades, and I'm enjoying watching every bit of it, and I'm enjoying watching her suffer. And hopefully, the more she suffers, the more this woman will, maybe she'll crack.
Well said.
TJ.
Yes.
What do you think about Padilla inserting himself?
Well, Padilla does what Padilla does, and evidently he seems to think that there's a resolution in this some way, somehow, and I also think there's an ego motive in here, too.
Mm-hmm.
He wants so bad to break a big case, and I don't think necessarily it's for money, because he's got all the money he could ever spend. He's got all the money he could ever need. But I think it's a need to perhaps, you know, make some kind of a name for himself in a different direction. Maybe in his mind he believes he is doing good. And by maybe taking this tactic on, perhaps the man really genuinely thinks that he can bring about something in a different manner that police have not been able to have happen. If he can, hey, you know what? That's great. But good old boy wisdom says that let these people soak it in. Let them get used to prison life. I don't see them getting used to it. I say let them be nervous. Let them start to roll on each other. We're already starting to see some hints of that. You know, when I take a look at these jail tapes, doggone you, Hank Crosland, you are so close. You are so close in some of these videos, and by golly, we're going to repost them without any kind of corruptions here on both of our websites, because they're just about done, guys. I'm telling you right now, they're 3/5 of them are done. I've been doing this while we were on here. There's a couple of times in there where he's so close to sealing the deal, where he's just about getting ready to have Misty to talk, and then he says, but baby, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
And
I
you just
like
put
that.
Your head in your hands and you go, oh. And
Misty actually panics.
Oh, she panicked like hell.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you take a listen to that, and you think, she's going to crack. And then the fatherly instinct is, I think I know what the answer is going to be, and I really don't want to know right now, or I don't want to know. But doggone it, Hank, you were so close to getting this to the bottom of this, but I know as a father, no matter what or how you've raised your children or what or how you've conducted yourself, I do know that you don't want to see your own child be sacrificed in this case. I'm saying I understand it. I didn't like it, but I understood why you did what you did. But doggone it, son, you were so close to sealing the deal and closing it for us.
Yes, sir.
I also enjoyed the part. It actually happens on two of the tapes. Misty talking to her father and then talking to her mother. The subject of Padilla comes up, and basically Padilla has slapped $100 into her phone account, and Padilla wants her to call him. Now, young Misty says, oh, no can do. I'm only allowed to have 10 phone numbers on my list. But she is very, very elusive about who those 10 people are. You know, she mentions something like 4 and then just mumbles and changes the subject. You know, on the one hand, it sounds like she wants out right now. You know, yep, tell Padilla to start working on it right now and get me out tomorrow. But she doesn't seem to want to talk to him.
Maybe she wants her mom to do the talking.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, in fact, that's what she said to Hank.
Yeah.
Oh, I've told Lisa or Mum, you know, everything, you know, she needs to know. She just needs to talk to Padilla, but she needs to do it today. Did you catch that,
about
PJ?
Herself.
Yeah, I did. And you got to be reminded that this took place about a week before the cease and desist letter took place. And I don't want folks getting confused by it, but by golly, watching that in the moment, here you are, you're this little girl only wants nothing more than get me out, and I screw you, I don't owe you anything, and it's all about me. I mean, and this is, at least that's the personality and that's the mindset I'm seeing here, and it's just beyond belief. Yeah, $100, yeah, thank you, fine. Oh, I don't have time for you, no, you're not talking directly to me, no, you're not giving me exactly what I want and when I want it, And I'm seeing it almost like a very spoiled little girl acting
yeah.
out, and almost like a sociopath.
Well, he probably refused to go along with her terms.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, she's saying that her terms are, get me out, then I talk. And he said
she wants to go to her mom and dad's house, live with her mom and dad. You know, that's not how it works. Leonard Padilla said that they would take her to a safe house. And then she said that that's all she's concerned about. She's not concerned about finding this child. She's not concerned about telling anybody information. She just wants to get out and probably do some more drugs. And I thought it's interesting, you know, we have Misty doing this, all the while Ronald is carrying on this long-distance relationship with some, you know, internet poster out there, this woman. And it's just ridiculous what both of these people are doing.
There are no good actors in this play. No good actors in this show. That's for certain.
Padilla he's got Misty California dreaming, thinking of sunshiny beaches, and soon.
I have a question, Armando. Well, don't you think that conditions of her bail or her bond, for the most part, would mean that she'd have to stay right here, either in Putnam or in St. John's County, or at least the state of Florida, possible flight risk. But with Padilla involved, do you think that is enough with his word and his resources to perhaps allow her to leave the state?
I think if that becomes possible, there's going to be a lot of pissed off prisoners out there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of pissed off citizens.
Yeah. I mean, because there should be no reason for her to leave the state whatsoever. We have her here. This is where she needs to be. This is where everything happened. I don't know. I mean, if it's a strategy, it could be working because she's ready to spill the beans to get to California.
Well, she, you know, whenever her mother first mentioned Padilla wanting to relocate him to California, it didn't impress Misty at all. She just changed the subject back to her getting out. She didn't have nothing to say at all in the video.
Wow.
About them going to California. So, I mean, she just said, Lisa said, oh, and guess what? He wants to relocate us to California. Well, Misty starts saying, well, I want you to call him tomorrow. She didn't say nothing about going to California. It just
well,
didn't
the Crosslands, the Crosslands probably want to go to California because they don't enforce drug laws there.
Funny, but a good point.
That was a very low blow. Denny, we haven't heard from you for a while. What's your thoughts?
I'll get back to the Padilla question. You know, when he got involved with the Anthony case, I was annoyed because I felt that she was where she belonged when he bailed her out the first time. And then after I got thinking about it, I said, well, if this thing works and the strategy was, I supposedly, that she would tell him what happened to her daughter. I said, well, maybe, but it turned into one of these sideshow things. And with Haley, a lot of people have said, you know, we often lose the focus on finding Haley because of the circuses, the various sideshows. And I agree with Levi. I think Misty is right where she belongs, and the longer she stays there, the better, I think, to get the truth out of her. And, you know, Misty's been able to keep the police, the law enforcement at bay, if you will, for over a year now. In spite of her lack of formal education and so forth, she hasn't spilled the beans, and I think she knows what happened, or at least she knows who knows what happened to Haley if she doesn't know directly, and that information she's holding on to. And I think if she's looking at not getting out of prison, if convicted of all these charges, possibly not getting out of prison until she's eligible to join AARP. If that doesn't do the trick, $100 in her commissary by Padilla, I don't think is going to do it. I would like, you know, whatever works, I'm for doing, but my opinion is that the best chance of getting the truth out of her is keeping her behind bars and hope that breaks her, if you want to use the term break.
Okay, I'm going to go around the table here. That there was an absolute classic comment from one of the jailhouse tapes, and it was Misty talking about Padilla, and she is trying to run the show. He needs to get me out, and we have to sign a contract that he will not revoke my bond. I just love that. I mean, Padilla might be a bit of a wild man, but I cannot see him going for that deal. TJ, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, people can say Misty's pretty dumb, but she called him right there. You know, there's no motive in there if you can't revoke her bond. I mean, what's his protection in this case if she talks? You know, he doesn't have any protection. What if she gets away? He has no protection. You know, so, you know, that's the only insurance policy he's got on this. If I'm Leonard, I'm saying, yeah, I'll try maybe a different brand of honey next time.
Levi, did you hear that comment?
I don't think that I heard that comment, but you know what? I think that the Crosswinds are enjoying Leonard Padilla. He's given them a car. He's given them money. He's given them money to talk on the phone to Misty. They're sucking him like a little leech to see what they can get for him. Misty wants to suck him out of a leech to see if she can get out of a jail. I mean, nothing new here.
But something did change her mind. And like I said, I think it's because he wouldn't go for it. He sees through it.
Because she doesn't want to help in this investigation. She doesn't want to help find Haley because she knows that it could implicate her.
Well, like I said, her terms were that she would talk to him once she's released, once she walks out the door. His terms were she talks first, gives him information to find Haley, then he bails her out. But she didn't want to do it that way. She wanted him to get her out first. And he claimed that he wasn't going to do that. So maybe that's why it ended up like this, because her mama even was telling her that he was going to bail her out and he was going to go for her deal. But he said before he would not. So, I mean, he had a lot to lose if he went and bailed her out and she didn't have nothing or wouldn't talk to him, than another Casey Anthony. I mean, it would have, wouldn't do no good to bail her out then. He wouldn't get his end of the bargain was.
Oh, okay. You bring up a really interesting point. Now, I'm not a bail bondsman, but I have spoken to several in the past, and never on a professional level. the deal in Florida is you have to plunk down 10%, and that 10% is non-refundable unless you plonk the person back in the jail. We're talking about 133 or $135,000. All right, that's the amount of money that has to exchange hands. There is no way that the Croslins have that kind of money. Sure. I mean, our good friend Leonard does. But he is never, ever going to see a dime of that. I mean, why would he do this?
It's, unless the fame, the thought, just knowing that he was the one that got her to talk is worth
right.
that much to him, but I can't see it.
TJ, any thoughts?
No, not really. Not on this. No.
But both TJ and I have talked to a number of bondsmen over the years. So,
yeah.
That's just the way it goes.
Yes, sir.
Well, Misty's definitely calling all the cards here. I mean, she definitely feels like she's got a good hand to play with, you know. Hence why she's
backfire on her, though.
Mm-hmm. And the 1998 Ford Taurus, I wonder what color it is.
Green, I think.
News at 10.
Favorite color.
I wonder if Leonard also picked up the insurance.
That's a good question, too.
That is a good
question.
You've
got to have insurance.
proof of financial responsibility is what it's called, and they can do that because driving is not a right but a privilege, and that's where they can get that. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have insurance in Florida, they don't play nice anymore.
Right.
They don't play nice here at all.
And I'll tell you what, I just have this sneaking hunch that if they don't have insurance, there's going to be a blue flashing light. Oh, Hank, how nice to see you again. We have a place all set up for you.
Oh, brother.
Three hot, hot, hot.
TJ.
Yes, sir.
What do you see the future holding?
I see a lot of rolling taking place. People are going to start rolling over on each other. Already Tommy's just agitated to beat the band at Misty. And you can hear that in one of the tapes that actually did render, where he's speaking with his dad. And his dad's kind of, you know, whacking on Misty, too. He said, I should have known better than get involved in her stuff and buying out, you know, trouble. She's in trouble. By the way, how's she doing? You know, as all silly as that gets, but still, all the same, it's one of these things where I think Tommy's going to say whatever it is he does have to say, and he's going to tell him whatever it is he knows, but not incriminate himself, because as this plays out, heck, for all we know, he might have had a hand in her disappearance himself. But you see him getting really pissy whenever the topic of Haley comes up. He gets very pissy. Both of them do. And they don't want to talk about it. They want to talk about whatever it is. You know, how's the weather? You got minutes on your phone. But, boy, I tell you, as soon as they start talking about Haley, those two both, they get pissy and then they clam up. Am I seeing things? Am I just being willful here?
Oh, no. I think... I think you hit the nail on the head. Armando, you watched the tapes. What do you think?
I think that they're not going to get away with this, at least. You know, I think that this charge will stick. I mean, half the country is pretty much pissed off that they weren't locked up for child negligence and allowing, you know, Haley to actually disappear from bottom of their nose, and at least we got them this way. So like I said, God doesn't like ugly, so either way, they're where they belong right now, and hopefully they can be interrogated enough or they can crack to where we know what happened with Haley, whether she's alive or not.
Denny, any thoughts?
Yes, I agree pretty much with what Armando said, and my patience gets so thin with these things. I want to see somebody cracked, like, you know, tonight, and make that deal. You know, what's John Wall say? Do the right thing. Make that call. I would love to see that happen immediately. I don't think it's going to happen immediately, not fast enough to suit me. But I do think there's a chance it's going to happen. And that's what I'm kind of holding out for, that somebody, and I don't have a lot of sympathy in any of these people, and, you know, maybe it's cold-hearted or whatever, but I think the pressure's got to be kept to bear on these people until somebody does what needs to be done. And if it's Hank or Tommy or Misty, whoever it is, I want to see it happen. I want to see it happen soon.
In the tapes, our good friend Nancy Grace got a good beating on several occasions. There was a delightful comment from Misty, you know, the young lady of high virtue. Nancy needs to get her facts straight before she runs her mouth. I enjoyed it.
The first truth that came out of her mouth.
Yeah.
finally she can say the truth. So we know she does have some truth in her.
I disagree. Nancy, generally speaking, tells the truth.
Yes.
It's just that it's days or even weeks after the event.
Then it's, well, it's a converted truth then.
Right.
a delayed truth. Maybe her twins knew at first.
I haven't seen pictures of the twins for a few
couple
months.
Couple of days.
Yeah, I guess that all of the hate mail finally got through to someone. Don't do this. PJ,
yeah.
What else happened this week?
Well, we've had the tapes. We had Lisa Crosland incarcerated briefly and then brought out with Leonard Padilla, and Hank just kind of, well, yeah, that happened. I couldn't tell you exactly what happened. I was in court myself. That part was crazy. Trying to explain that one day last week with Jane Velez Mitchell, and God bless her for her patience. The woman, her eyes were nearly crossed, and she was ready to pull her hair out. She couldn't believe the way this thing goes quiet, and then all of a sudden it just goes like a tornado. And much like the rest of us, it's the behavior patterns of the bad actors involved here. She nor her panel, Mike Brooks, by the way, a former FBI guy, I like Mike a heck of a lot. In fact, I really enjoy working with him probably the most there at Headline News. Mike just keeps shaking his head. He's talked to me a couple of times on personal calls. You know, what do you make of these people? And it's like, I can't tell you because I don't know what to make of them. But all the same, this week has just been a whirlwind of information and trying to get the dust to settle and see where the information goes is and how it's to be processed is going to be something else. We did get, of course, the actual transaction of drugs. Those tapes, by the way, are running and running fine on both bloggernews.net and thesky973.com. We also have the takedown. We have that too. But the jail tapes, again, I'm going to have to say this. There's another round probably coming in the middle of the week, so we'll have to get our thinking hats on and get our strategies going. But it's what's redacted. It's what's redacted. It's what we're not able to see. We're seeing some pretty good nuggets here, but it's what we're not seeing that's just killing me.
Right. Oh, I'm with you. Let's take a quick call. We have someone from the 909 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Kathy, and one of my questions is basically, are we going to be seeing tapes in relation to them being questioned in jail like we do with Casey Anthony?
Those are depositions?
Yes.
The deposit, possibly.
Well, I would love to. Those are very telling.
Those are possible. I can't say that they're going to happen for sure, but they're very possible.
Very enjoyable with Casey. We saw through quite a lot. Thank you, guys. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Yeah, redaction. Let's talk redaction. Now, TJ, you and I have been muscling these stinking videos around for long enough to know that when you have one that's under 10 minutes, it's been redacted.
That is correct.
When you have several that are in the 14 or 15 minutes, it's been redacted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what possibly could be the redactions?
Well, the case that's under investigation, or the case that's no longer being investigated because they have the arrest made, is the drugs. So pretty much everything about the drugs is on the tape. Now, there are parallel cases, but not necessarily intersecting cases at this time officially, but there is an open investigation with many of these players involved, which is the disappearance of Haley Cummings. So I'm just going to go out there on a limb and say that perhaps the redacted comments are pertaining to an open investigation to which it is not wise to make public any findings of an open investigation until you're absolutely certain you're going to court with it and you can get a slam dunk win. So the redactions have everything, in my estimation, to do with the disappearance of the young girl.
Do you have any thoughts, Denny?
That makes sense to me. I can't imagine what else it would be about. Like TJ says, the drug thing's on the table, so... you know, what else could there be? It almost seems to me it would have to be the Haley investigation.
Well, it is possible that it still involves the drug investigation, if for no other reason than the, you know, infamous statement, more arrests are expected.
Yes, you know, that I keep thinking that I'm going to hear the sound of clink, clink, and somebody else being put into the jail, and I'm thinking there's probably two. I'm thinking there are probably at least two, maybe three people who will be arrested, either on the drug side or at least one on the Haley side of this equation.
Ooh, do you want to share that a little bit?
No, sir.
No, sir.
He doesn't want to know anymore.
I have a question that I'd like to ask about these videos. Was the one with when Misty and Ronald was in the car with the guy, the undercover guy?
Yeah.
When Ronald was talking to him about Haley, he told her that told the guy that Haley wasn't taken by dope guys.
Dope boy, yeah.
Dope boys. So, I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, what is he thinking if that's the case? I mean, who could it be? I mean, everybody keeps saying it could be a drug deal and all that. So who does Ronald think that took him, if that's the case, took her, if he doesn't think it was from the dope dealers and dope guys?
Hmm.
He's either doing that... or perhaps he's playing it off as dope boys don't do that. I don't see dope boys taking babies, to be quite honest with you. I see them perhaps killing people or hurting people, but they're no way equipped to be handling children. But that's something he's saying. Either that's a deflection or that's something he truly believes.
Right.
And at this stage of the game, I don't know which way to go on that.
I know, it's confusing me too, because, I mean, if he says that, I mean, he stated that like he really believes it. I mean, he even said, you know, they go in and they kill you. They don't kidnap you, in other words.
Uh-huh.
And it does make you wonder, well, just what is it that he is thinking?
Okay, I just want to remind everyone that our call-in line is area code 646-378-1120. And we would love to get your questions and comments on today's show. Where do we go next, TJ?
Trying to get these darn... movie clips up and running. I got them all processed and I got them all transferred to a page so folks could possibly view them, but by golly, you can't see them in Microsoft Windows. I just don't know how to change them into perhaps real time or to get that taken care of. But,
don't go real time.
Okay, I got another question. Sorry.
Okay,
they're just asking this in the chat room. They want to know if you know who Marty got arrested for assaulting in August of 2009.
right up. I wasn't paying attention too much to him in August of 2009, but I do believe that he was involved with some kind of a row. But I, to be quite honest with you, I don't know who it was.
Okay.
I don't know who it was. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you that my focus is pretty narrow, but if anybody else does, I try not to get out there on the far edges of the pizza. You know, I want to get there where it's all chewy and gooey and pretty close to perhaps finding Haley. So I don't know.
Okay. Closer to the gooey stuff, do we know how much Timmy's tax return is?
It has to be awful big.
Not offhand. It couldn't have been too substantial.
No, you have to admit that, boy, Timmy's tax refund check just keeps coming up and up and up. I mean, I do feel sorry for the guy. I mean, clearly he's the only one in the family that's actually working.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
Or was?
Yeah. Well, he's in jail now.
No, Timmy.
Oh, Timmy, I'm sorry. I believe that what he was doing was actually collecting public assistance, and that was one of his reasons for going to Massachusetts, because the public assistance amounts are far more generous than they are in Florida. In Florida, even though the unemployment rate is closer to 12, 13%, and maybe up to 14% in some areas, they're still pretty stingy with what they're going to give you as far as unemployment. They really would like to see people working, and they want to make this enough for you to get by, but not pleasant enough for you to be on it for any great amount of time.
Oh, and so, we're not talking about a tax refund check of things.
Well, I don't know that you can get a tax, or how much of a tax refund check you can get for being, a guest of the state in those kind of coffers, but I imagine there's some you can collect.
Are there actually any members of the Crosland clan that hold a job?
Dad was out because of a broken leg in a car accident.
Okay, well, let's take another call. We have someone coming in from the 720 area code. What's your name, and what's your question or comment?
Well, I was just listening. I was just dialing. What was y'all? What was the conversation? Because I just got on.
Okay, it's all about Haley Cummings, which obviously you don't know much about. So, there's an unfortunate event. We lost our caller. Armando, what do you think needs to happen to crack this case?
Wow, that's a tough question. I think that the biggest thing has already happened, and that's them being incarcerated. Now we can start, you know, the questioning process and the bearing down to getting the answers that we need. I don't particularly know how, but because she is pretty conniving, good at it, but at least the first part is done.
The first part is done.
I agree.
Denny.
Yes.
What more can they do to apply pressure?
You know, I think TJ said that there's signs anyway that maybe the pressure of the incarcerations is getting to some of the players. Because I go back to the idea that the first one in the door gets the best deal when it comes to making a deal with the with the prosecutors. So I think somebody's got to get the idea that maybe they're not going to be first in the door, that maybe somebody else is going to break, which would put additional pressure on the other players to to reach out and see what kind of deal they can make. And I hope that's what's going on, and I hope it's happening, because I think that pressure will lead to a resolution. And, you know, the other thing I would like to, if I could just ask, we didn't get a chance to talk to Levi last week about this. What are his thoughts on the Tim Miller Equisearch thing? I wonder what he thinks Tim Miller's role, if any, is in this situation.
Levi had to scoot.
Uh-oh, okay.
So he's not on the line anymore.
Does anyone else, TJ, do you have any thoughts? Is there anything new on the Equisearch angle here and what's going on with Tim Miller?
Tim Miller is taking care of his wife right now, who's very ill.
He took a leave of absence.
Yeah, so he's taking leave of absence. I don't think we're going to see or hear too much of him unless he's called upon in an extreme circumstance or an extreme situation. I think he's out of the game for right now and for personal reasons, and he'll probably stay that way for a while too. But I would not rule him out as far as being someone who may be called upon as this thing progresses, as far as letting police know anything else that he might know about this case. He's been pretty forward in talking with them of what he knows from time to time. So, you know, whenever he has been in and out of this situation. But he'll cooperate with police, no problem.
I don't think Tim has any problems in cooperating.
No, none whatsoever. But I just
don't
being actively involved in this until a resolution is taken care of in his wife's health.
That's understandable.
Very much.
Okay, I think it's about time we start to wrap this up. So I'm going to go round the table and ask everyone's parting thoughts, and I'm going to pick on Jan.
Gee, thanks.
Ooh.
You probably don't want to hear what I'm thinking. I can't help but wonder, once I'd listened to those or watched the expression on Misty's face, she wants out of jail awful bad. I mean, that's all she can think about is getting out of jail. Nothing else seems to be important to her at all right now, as long as she gets out. So I can't help but ask myself if she really knew something that could get her free from behind those bars, wouldn't she tell it? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me that she's in a position where she could make a deal. And why doesn't she do it if she knows something that could be that damaging? And like I said, I still stick to my guns that it could possibly not only be this side of the family that's holding all the cards.
That's actually a great question. And, you know, if she knows something that can spring her, why doesn't she do it? Good question.
It's the truth. I mean, it's now I know if I was in jail, I've never been behind bars, but I know if I went, I would be panicking so much that I would be working on a deal. I mean, that's exactly how I would do.
That would be a heck of an immunity.
Right. Well, not necessarily immunity, but a deal. I mean, when you're facing the years that this girl is facing, you know, she's in a bargain position right now. If she really has something damaging or something that can find Haley, you know, if she really knows something. So, I mean, she could work a deal. And, you know, it just seems to me like she would. And like I said, I could be wrong, but that's the way I keep feeling. And
okay.
I still feel she's alive.
Okay, we're down to the last 60 seconds. Armando, your thought.
First, I want to say thank you to you, Jan, Simon, TJ, for your continuing diligence on this case. Huge appreciation. Second of all, as far as the case, seems to me like we're getting closer to the answers. The teapot is steaming. You know, now we just got to wait for it to finish boiling, I guess. And Tommy seems like a pretty good guy. I mean, he just seems like some pretty good dude who's just got caught up in a bunch of BS. But,
TJ.
It's just going to be time. All you have to do, you have to be patient here. And I know that's something I had to learn to do in this whole ordeal is to learn a thing called patience. But I'm like Denny. I want this thing wrapped up just like they do on TV. 3 minutes into it, by golly, it's done. And then you see what's on next week. But I'm kidding. All kidding aside. But I do want to see this wrapped up, and I am very anxious to hear a break, somebody breaking.
Denny.
Yes, I think Jane raised a good point, and my thought on that is I think Misty's the key, even if she didn't have direct involvement in what happened. She knows who knows. And I think the key to her breaking is going to be the best deal. Maybe right now she doesn't feel she has the best deal. Maybe she's more afraid of somebody she'd have to drop a dime on than she is the police or the potential of number of years in prison. But I think that'll change as things go. Again, like TJ, my patience isn't my strong suit. But all these things I do know takes time. It takes time to exert the pressure. It takes time to hammer out a deal and so forth. So I'm still optimistic that somebody is going to turn here, be it Misty or be it one of the other players. But I think somebody's going to eventually reach the conclusion it's in their best interest to make a deal. And when that happens, things will start to unravel. And we'll get to the bottom of where Haley is and what happened to her. So I'm holding out that's going to be what happens in this case to bring it to a resolution.
This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network, and I want to thank our illustrious panel. Jan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
TJ, it is always great to have you on the show.
Thank you, and if these videos process the way I hope they will also have a bit of a transcription attached to each and every one of these. So please be patient.
Armando, thank you so much for helping TJ and out so much, TJ and I out so much this week.
Thank you.
Anytime.
And
thank you.
Denny? It is always wonderful to talk to you, and I do hope you'll be with us again next week. With that, I guess I'll just say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.